Okay. This is the meeting of the regular session of the Arizona State Physical Therapy Board, February 25th, 2020.
At 8:33.
Okay. I'd like to revise the agenda slightly. Let's move to the first item under.
Dr. Fallon, we should do a roll call.
Oh, okay, let's do a roll call.
Joshua Greer here.
Becky Hunter here.
Kelly Kane, professional member here.
Karen Bustillo here.
Mark Cornwall here.
Mishka Remick here.
Michael Clinton.
Donna Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the board.
Karen Dunn here, Executive Director.
Monica Crowley, Licensing Administrator.
Monica Cardoza, Administrative Services Officer.
Michael Valbrady, Investigator.
Mindy Richardson, Investigator.
The other court.
Okay. And before I get too far into this and get called back again, I'd like to acknowledge that we have students from the Northern Arizona University Phoenix campus here to enjoy what we're doing. Okay? So I'd like to deal with item number 4A1, case number 18-14, Amy Brannon.
Anticipate that this will take at least our presentation arguments may take more than half an hour to at least present what it is that we wish to present.
Well, we've received everything you've sent us. We have reviewed it, and I think it would be more appropriate if you spent 7 minutes.
Sure. I mean, we will do our best to absolutely condense it, but we have a number of points to make. And I suppose before we get there are some housekeeping matters. We have submitted a motion for pro hoc for my colleague, Mark Vina here. He's from our Chicago office. He has been selected by Dr. Brannon to participate, chosen to participate in this particular hearing, this matter. And we would request that the board at first accept that motion to allow Mr. Vina to present. I talked to Ms. Baskin about this last week. Presented all the necessary paperwork and supplements yesterday as well.
Yes, and thank you. All that information has been provided.
I was under the impression that that you would be able to present your case, given the fact that we've read everything already.
Understood. But again, given the fact that Dr. Brannon has requested Mr. Vina, which is why we submitted that paperwork. If I could allow Mark.
Will he be presenting new information?
Mr. President, if I could just address that quickly. This is simply, and perhaps counsel can confirm, really just more of a housekeeping matter to make sure that I'm covered with the State Bar of Arizona, which allows me to practice on a temporary basis. We don't want to make this a bigger issue than it really is. I think what my colleague is just trying to convey, we want to make sure everybody's okay with proceeding that way, recognizing that you're giving us a bit of a shorter time period, but ultimately, I think what we're saying is I would prefer to proceed with your arguments in whatever capacity the board allows.
It was not my intent to hasten this hearing. It was more of, you're here so early, and you might have other things you want to do the rest of your day. So we're happy to put you at the end if you'd rather do that. So.
No, Mr. President, I'll just say this is the most important thing to Dr. Brennan's career, her professional license, and we're, of course, prepared to go whenever the board would allow us to. I think we were under the impression, in speaking with counsel last week, she indicated that there would be a matter that takes approximately an hour to an hour and a half at the 9 o'clock hour. We arrived early merely because, well, frankly, Nick, I don't like being late to anything. So we come early no matter where we are. It wasn't necessarily our intention that we wanted to move up on your agenda. So I think respectfully, it would make sense. Again, we'll do whatever the board would like. If the board has other matters, we're happy to wait until later.
If your presentation is going to take that long, I guess it would be worthwhile to reorder the agenda again.
Well, Dr. Cornwell, the length of time that litigants have to
purview. There has been really extensive briefing. There's been very nice record citations. There's been a full record that I know that the board has all reviewed. So if that would be within your purview to limit the time of oral argument rather than...
Okay.
That's within your purview.
All right. And so if I limited you to 7 minutes, you think you can cover the highlights of your case?
The short answer, Mr. President, is we will accommodate the board's preference with regard to time. Yes, if you're allowing us 7 minutes to convey, we will do our best under that time period to compress it. I would just state, however, that while I appreciate counsel's comment, again, this is an important matter for Dr. Brennan, obviously, given the briefings that have been filed and the outcome. Just want to make sure that if there is something, for example, there are questions from the board, for example, that might exceed the 7 minutes, I don't want my client's rights to be truncated based on a, frankly, a timing.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying.
No, I don't want that either. And I was not going to include questions as part of the 7 minutes. So.
Okay, fair
but,
enough.
All right, so I'll tell you what. We now have 22 minutes before that presentation, so let's move to another item on the agenda. And so you can take your seats.
Thank you very
again.
Much.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's let's review and approve the draft minutes, starting with January 28, 2020, regular session minutes. Any additions, corrections? Been moved and seconded.
Motion to approve the minutes. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Abstain.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Item 2B, January 28, 2020, executive session meeting minutes A.
I have no changes. I'll make the motion to accept executive session meeting minutes A.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to accept executive session minutes A from the January 28th meeting. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Abstain.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, and the final one is 2C, January 28, 2020, executive session meeting minutes B.
I'll make a motion to approve those.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the executive session meeting minutes B from the January 28, 2020 meeting. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Abstain.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passed.
And thank you, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board. Dr. King, you are abstaining because you were not present for that meeting.
Correct, I was not there.
All right, thank you.
Okay, let's go to item number 3A1, review, consideration, and approval of applications for physical therapist licensure with documentation related to disclosure on personal information section of the application. Hannah Hahn.
Move to approve licensure.
Second.
She hasn't taken the exam, right?
She's waiting for that approval.
Okay, so she'd be licensed upon receiving a passing score?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been approved and seconded to allow Ms. Hannah Hahn to continue with her application for testing and then get final approval. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Item 3A1, Jeff Posterick.
Jeff is also waiting for both exams as well.
Can I make a motion to approve his application? And licensure should he pass the exams?
Okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Jeff Posterick following successful completion of his exams. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Item number 3A2, review of and possible action on application for physical therapist licensure from applicant requesting ADA accommodations. I'm assuming Jessica's not here. Okay. All right. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve Ms. Feller's request for ADA accommodations.
Do a second. I'll second it.
Well, we've reviewed these before. There's usually been documentation from a physician, or we don't have that here.
Right, because
we have the undergraduate or the school's statement that she previously had accommodations, but we don't have any.
That is correct.
Or anyone who says that she still needs them.
She got a, if you look at the report, she got a some sort of diagnosis from the counselor.
Well, that's 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, she still has a diagnosis, though.
But I guess his point is the diagnosis was made by who? But if it was a counselor.
Yeah. And I read the materials that for our 9 o'clock meeting, it says we probably should just be blindly approving these.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I think we probably at least need updated materials. We have a diagnosis, we have a note from 2015, which is 5 years ago, and then we have another note from 2017. But
I did request more recent, but there, this was the most recent.
Okay. Yeah, what universities choose to do is very different than others. So. Yeah.
Well, I think the important piece to remember in thinking about, you know, where we need to go and the gravity of it all is an ADA accommodation is just that, you know, it's a, you know, disabilities act. It's typically in school it needs to be recertified on a certain regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I'm not seeing any revisiting of her accommodation in school, so I am in agreement that we need an updated as either physician documentation or something indicating that that she needs an accommodation in order to take the licensure exam.
She actually has a disability, is it?
Correct.
Okay. Well, all right. we have a motion and there's a second. I think I'd rather vote on that rather than withdraw my second, okay? So, does everybody have enough information to make a decision that they... Okay, then let's call the question.
So the vote is to approve the accommodation request. Mr. Greer?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
No.
Dr. Pastillo?
No.
Dr. Cornwell?
No.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Mr.
Clinton? No.
Motion fails.
I'd move to table this matter pending receipt of additional information from Ms. Feller.
Second. And I'm assuming staff will communicate with her about what
yes.
what she might be able to do in order to be more successful. Or
yes.
Okay. Okay.
The motion is to table until additional information can be obtained. There's a first and a second. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes to table.
To item number 4B1, case number 19-10, Hans Lettner, physical therapist. Pardon? I thought this was. Maybe there's a better one to do.
Or we could do some board business.
Okay. Given the fact that we have that 9 o'clock, and they need to set up. Let's.
How
would like to make a note that Mr. Lettner's name is misspelled on the agenda. It should be L-E-T-T-N-E-R, and I think it's L-I-T.
Yeah, the files had L-E, and then the agenda had L-I, so whichever's correct. Whichever's correct.
Thanks.
Okay, let's move to item number 5B, review and discussion and action on election of SBBT delegate and alternate delegate.
So I sent out an email asking who was available. Mr. Greer would like to remain delegate since he wasn't able to fulfill his duties last year. And Ms. Hunter stated that she could also be present at both meetings. So those are the two individuals that have expressed interest.
So this is for life as well as for?
Correct.
Okay. Life not as in the duration of your existence.
The meeting.
Later said,
not life the game or life in the world.
Okay. All right, just want to make sure that these would be the individuals for both meetings, right?
Correct.
And that we're both would be able to go to both, I think?
I am.
Okay.
Dr. Donahue, just a quick question. Just thinking about Ms. Hunter, if I know that her position on the board has expired, is she still in? So
correct.
Should something occur and another board member replace her, what is our plan B for
you could elect two delegates if you'd like, or if there is a acting member who is not expired in their term that would like to be the alternate delegate, I did not hear from you, just tell me and we can throw that into this election.
Okay. And just to understand, the expectation is to be able to attend both meetings.
That's the expectation for the delegate. It is the expectation for the alternate delegate, but we've certainly had years where that has not occurred.
So
is there anybody else who
does it
like
sound
to
like we can handle that informally if it was to happen?
We could have another election and if we need to. Or you can elect two alternates in the case that Ms. Hunter is reappointed. The position is reappointed. Not you are reappointed, but the position is reappointed.
I understood.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll make the motion to elect board members Greer and Hunter for the FSBPT delegate and alternate delegate position.
And that would be Josh as delegate.
Sorry, Josh.
And Ms. Hunter as alternate.
Correct. Thank you for clarifying.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
It's been moved and seconded to elect Joshua Greer as delegate. Ms. Peggy Hunter as the alternate delegate to the FSBPT delegate position. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, guys.
All right. I think we can get through number 5D. No, C. Review, discussion, and possible action PT compact renewal requirements. Easy law exam.
Regarding renewal of the compact, and does that include the retaking of the jurisprudence exam? 11 states out of the 16 now do require that. Arizona is one of them. That when we set it up, we said that they would need to do the exam as a renewal, as a product of renewal prior to renewing their compact. However, we did not bring that to the board, so we would like the board to deliberate and discuss whether they believe that should be a requirement of renewal for the PT compact.
Let me ask you a question, just to make sure I understand it. So they have to take it to get the compact approved.
Correct.
So you're saying every number of years they have to retake it?
That would be correct. So they're compact privilege expires on the date of the expiration of the license that they hold in the home state. On that election, they have to, so their compact will essentially go away because it expires. They have to get a new compact license in order to continue. It doesn't automatically renew with their home state renewal. So the question before you is, should they have to continue to take the jurisprudence exam every time that happens, that the compact expires, and they have to get a new compact privilege?
How many states require that they take the...
11 out of the 16 right now required.
At renewal.
At renewal.
Are you looking for a motion, Karen?
I'm looking for a motion and the board to decide yes or no.
I'll make a motion for discussion that applicants who renew their compact license, privilege in the state of Arizona, I have to retake the Arizona law exam prior to receiving an updated compact.
Second.
Okay, we're open for discussion. Anybody, do you want to elaborate or just want to give me any comments?
Can I amend your motion to say not only take, but take and successfully pass?
Yes!
Yes. Good point. Point.
Yes.
That's a great
take
idea.
Take and successfully pass.
So my only question would be, what's different with a compact privilege that's different than having a regular license in the state? Since we don't require our current licensees to pass the jurisprudence exam every time they renew, every 2 years.
It's a great question.
So what's different?
I think for me, the people that I know that I've worked with that have compact privileges in a variety of states. And so just revisiting the Arizona State Practice Act, I think, will be important because over that 2 year or whatever time span of their license in some place, they could have worked in 4 or 5 different states. And so I think versus a licensee, most likely just working here unless it's a compact someplace else, but they know their license is here. So that would be my
so
only
people
strongest
be too confused
argument, yes, to just have them remember that
well,
in the state of Arizona, this is what we do.
Additionally, some of the compact candidates had expressed an interest in practicing here and had secured or attempted to secure compact privileges mm-hmm. prior to actually coming to the state or getting their travel assignment. And so it is possible that you could get a compact but then not actually fulfill that assignment. Mm-hmm. So it seems to make sense mm-hmm. that if you then renew it, it would remind you of the laws of the state if you, for some reason, like these other candidates, didn't actually come to the state to practice.
Initially, what we know about compact privileges, we don't know much about them, but we know they don't have a license in Arizona. Okay. And so, and we know they don't reside here, because if they resided here, they couldn't get an Arizona compact privilege, they'd have to get a license. And so, just ensuring that they're familiar with the way we do things here, I think, without that. Okay. I don't think the jurisprudence exam is a giant hurdle, but I think it does ensure the safety of the public.
Okay. Any other comments?
Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, then you would need to probably direct your staff to draft a very short substantive policy statement that would delineate the board's decision in this case. I don't think at this time, based on the executive order 2020-02, that rulemaking would be possible, plus with the compact it is a little difficult. So the supplement policy statement brought back to the board to approve
okay.
this.
And I would make that 2 motions.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Can
we
agendize for a second?
You can direct your staff to draft and bring it back.
Okay, that's, so we have a motion, we have a second. Are you ready for the vote?
Yes.
So the motion is that compact privilege individuals who need to renew their compact privileges must successfully retake and pass the Arizona law exam prior to receipt or renewal of the compact privilege. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
I don't know if we need a motion also to just direct the staff, but we'd like staff to prepare a substantive policy statement reflecting the discussion we have here regarding this issue.
We will bring it back at the March meeting.
Right. We need to vote on that, or can we just?
Well, sure. Let's vote on that.
So we need a second.
Oh, second. Sorry.
Second.
Yeah. So the motion is for staff to draft a substantial policy statement, bring it back to board review at the March meeting. Mr. Greer is the primary and
Karen
is the second. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwells?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, we are going to into a short recess to set up for this presentation from Thailand.
It is 8:58. So I'm going to ask.